Hello, beautiful souls. Welcome to Shifting Paradigms. I'm your host, Jess Ananda. And today we have a very special guest, my love, my wife, Galia. And I would love for you to introduce yourself, baby.
Yes, absolutely. Greetings, my beloved souls. I am Galia Devi. I am a yoga teacher, a spiritual healer, and a sound healer, and I'm really, really, really glad to share this space with you, my love, and super excited about what we are going to talk about today.
Thank you, baby, for that introduction, and I'm very, very excited about it as well, because this is some deep stuff, you know. This is talking about sexuality, but on a very deep level, and this is something that you and I, throughout our divine union, have experienced a lot of challenges. And this is why I know that by us sharing our story, it will be able to bring some light, some more awareness into our beloved reflections who listen to this. I want to start off by just letting the audience know our history, as in, like, you know, I want to share how we started off our relationship, and obviously, like, our sexual connection, like, how that was for us when we first, like, began to build a relationship. And I would love for you to just share, you know, like, a bit of where you were at, you know, sexually, and within your own healing journey around the time we met.
Yes, definitely. So it is really, really important to be honest with our audience about everything that happened in our relationship, because it is truly a reflection of what is going on in the collective and how sexuality is not understood today and how sexuality has been corrupted for centuries now. So, about myself, pretty much my whole life have been really, really sexual, hypersexual, because I didn't really know what healthy sexuality was. Because, I mean, who knows today? Because what we have, what we are influenced by, is the TV, the media, and the image of sexuality that we have is absolutely perverted. So I just thought sexuality was this, but at the same time there was a deep yearning within myself to find love, but the only way I found to find this love was through sex. So it was really hard for me to even have healthy relationships, because I would just relate on this, absolutely just this. So my journey started to really change when I went to Australia on this self-love journey, absolutely a beautiful journey with myself. And I started to understand that, you know, like, the first person, the first lover of my life is my own self. And I really wanted to give this love to myself first, to be able to then receive this love. And I needed this love so much. So in July 2018, I stopped seeing people. So I went celibate, because I needed this for my soul. And when I met you in November 2018, it was for me a beautiful encounter, because it was really pure. At our first, you know, conversation, the first words that we exchanged, I knew that it was so pure, and that I could let go of any judgment, and I could just I appreciate each moment with you. And this is what I wanted to manifest and what I've always wanted to manifest, this pure love. But the thing is that we weren't aware that, you know, we didn't know what was a healthy relationship. I mean, we both never experienced a healthy relationship. I mean, you've been through a lot of toxic relationships. I've been through a lot of toxic relationships due to our hypersexuality. This was something that we had in common. That we were super sexual before meeting each other. And this is something we didn't want to, but because we were programmed to think that to be in a relationship is to be hypersexual and is to, you know, like have sex all the time and to also, you know, just get into sexual practices that, you know, you could just see on porn, let's be honest, you know? So we were absolutely programmed to just think that being sexually super active was super normal. When no, it just meant that we were still feeding a void within ourselves, and we didn't have to because, you know, we had each other, you know, but we could count on each other, so we didn't have to, you know, have too much of, you know, like too much sex, because like we were just, you know, like connected, and we were connected in just such a pure state, so we didn't have to have this. What do you think, babe? Like what were your reflections on it?
Well, for me personally, when we met, I was celibate for almost 2 years, so I personally didn't feel like the need to be having, you know, sex. Actually, beforehand I was very hypersexual, but when I went on my deep healing journey, this is when I knew that, like, I didn't resonate with that program anymore, and I just wanted to experience a pure relationship. And I didn't actually, like, I had lost my desire. Like, I didn't feel the need to, like, you know, have sex anymore, you know? And throughout, like, you know, like 2 years of going inward and healing, and working on healing my sexual traumas, you know, there was points where I was confused because, like, I didn't have, like, I didn't find, like, I needed to do what I was doing before. I didn't have any of that desire anymore. But I was very confused on to, like, okay, so what is pure sex? Or what is sacred sex? I don't know what that is because I've never learned that. And when I would even read a few books on Tantra, to be honest, like, I didn't resonate with it. So, like, I didn't know what it was, especially being in a same-sex relationship. I really didn't resonate with any Tantra books because all of it is, they always write it for, like, for heterosexual relationships. So, honestly, even reading that stuff, it just didn't feel right to me. Like, it didn't feel like it was a high vibration. Mm-hmm. It still felt like lust, and I was very confused. So I just was really turned off by sex because mm-hmm. I just said, you know what? I don't even want to experience anymore. I don't feel the need. I used to be addicted to it, and now I don't, because I was fulfilled within myself. I was fulfilled with the divine within me, that I was very detached. Mm-hmm. I became, again, very detached from my actual physical body, that I didn't need stimulation. But when we met, when we met, that changed again.
Yes, and baby, let me just explain to them how it all started, because I feel like when you are talking about this, one part of me is truly thinking of like the person that I was, you know, back then, and why this thing was still in my mind. So the thing is that I truly think that I initiated this game of, you know, like love and sexuality, because within myself, I still felt like I needed to play this game to be accepted, to be mm-hmm. loved, you know. So it was, you know, like the craving of the woman, you know, like this wounded feminine who wants to feel accepted and loved. And I thought that the only way for me to feel accepted and loved, just as I explained before, was through sexuality, was through sex. And I needed to do this with you so you would love me. So in a way, it was, you know, like my seduction and trying to get your attention, trying to, you know, like get you, trying to get you. And this was the thing that I was doing all the time. So this is something that wasn't even conscious in my mind back then. It was just automatic. It was just, you know, like my way to seduce someone and to make someone appreciate me, you know. And yeah. this was due also to a lack of self-love. And the only way for me to get the self-love, it was through others. And yeah. so that's why I do know now that I initiated this game. And this was something that I didn't even want to do. Like, one part of me didn't even want to do that. But I was so programmed to think that the only way to be with someone is to get into, you know, like this sexual game. I'm saying this because what you say, it's true, because I was just celibate for just a few months. So I was still, you know, like discovering this. And I mean, then if we also like talk about our long distance relationship, then I was celibate, you know, like for more than a few months, because then I waited for you till we saw each other in June. So for 1 year before, you know, like getting intimate with someone. So yeah, and I think like in both of us, what really played a major role, it was this fear of intimacy.
Yes.
And I think like for me, for myself, you know, this fear of intimacy, I was masking this fear. I was disguising, you know, like this fear with sexuality, basically with sex. I was masking my fear to be that vulnerable with someone, you know? So it was my way to just in a way like play safe, you know?
Yes. And you know, I wanted to go back on the whole how it all initiated and how that was coming from the subconscious programming that you had of how a woman is supposed to express herself. Mm-hmm. And me, because I'm a core masculine, so this is the energy that I exuberate, is that the masculine, the divine masculine, learning to honor my feminine within. So when we connected, I was at a different state in my life than you were. So when you initiated the sexual game, my higher self told me, like I told myself that this I needed to experience. And I saw like what you just described right now, the feminine and how the feminine, you know, wants to be seen and like basically initiates this when she doesn't know. That whole thing, I had all the insights came in. Like I saw the deep, deep, deep symbolism of everything. And I remembered parts that I read in scriptures of when devotees of the Lord would get tested through Shakti. And it was through, you know, sexual initiation. And they had to, like, endure that. And when this happened to me, I literally, like, I saw it all in my mind. Like, I saw the seduction. I saw the test. I saw everything. And then in that moment, I knew that I was about to step into something really deep. But I had to guide it into the most highest. And I had to remember my intention. I had to remember my intention for meeting you and opening up to you. So after we had an encounter where we connected in the astral planes, I sensed your purity. So when I sensed your purity and I experienced it in the astral plane, this is when I was getting my confirmation that it was safe for me to open up to you sexually, even if you were in your traumas, but it would be safe because you were pure and we would be able to experience purity. But we had to go through some darkness together, and I knew that it would be part of my medicine as well. So this is why I trusted and I allowed everything else that we experienced that was still like super low vibrations and, you know, toxic sex. I allowed that even though like I really didn't want to experience it, but like my higher self was allowing my human, as you know, my avatar Jess, to know that it was safe for me because it was part of my own evolution, part of what would allow me to help the collective. And of course, it was going to be part of how I would help you awaken to your divinity and learn to, like, you know, remember how to like honor your sexuality, and for me also to learn how to honor my sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, it was a lot. And, you know, I do want to share that because I really wanted purity, when you began to open up to me in ways that were reminding me of like my toxic sexual self, it really like hurt me. It was hurting me, but like, because I was so used to like the toxic masculine, we think that, you know, we need to please a woman and that we have to be like, you know, this like sex machine and all these things. So like I started to feed into this energy. And because I did come from this past, but I was like, I had like, I didn't want that anymore. And I had gone almost 2 years, you know, like where I was on good behavior. So this brought up tendencies of mine that I didn't want to experience anymore. But then I began to feed it. I began to give it life, you know, and it created resentment towards myself, to be honest. And I know that this is also because, you know, what happens when two people exchange sexual energy, we take on each other's karma.
Yeah. You know? I just want to add something, because to be fair, once again, I didn't want to experience this either. Like I said before, my perspective back then was just, I want to please you. This was just like my only desire was to please you. And this was my way to make you love me, appreciate me. But if I knew back then another way for you to appreciate me for just who I am, right? And this was something that I struggled pretty much my whole life, thinking that people like would never accept me for the person that I am. So it was in me. So in a way that I just thought that my body was this, you know, like this weapon. My body was just this weapon, you know, like to just like, you know, like get people to appreciate me. So it was just like my armor too. My body was this armor. So by me,
but it worked.
Yeah, right. By me being hypersexual, it was also like a way to protect myself, you know, like from any hurt. And then like if I would see, you know, like the person go away or something like this, like I would just, you know, like tuck this in and just think, okay, well, just, you know, like for the sex anyway. So so the thing is just like, it's really important, like for me to mention this, that I didn't want to experience this either. And most of the time when we get into, you know, like this kind of situations, it's just because, you know, again, we have been just, you know, like programmed to think that this is the right way to do things. And we don't know any better. So I think it's really important to mention for the audience that what they need to do is really, you know, deconstruct all false principles that are not true, that have never been true. It has never been true. False principles just, like, tell you to, you know, like, to have sex a certain way. Just like, you know, like when you are so obsessed by porn and you watch porn and then you feed your spirit too, you feed your spirit with all this nastiness and then this nastiness is in you. And then you just think that the only way acceptable to have sex is just to be nasty. And you just think that sex is nasty. So it's really to understand sex on a deeper level and how, you know, like your sexuality is sacred. And is to be, you know, like given to someone who truly respects you and see your soul, and someone who can accept your naked soul without seeing your naked body, right? So it was really about that. But I follow you on what you say, and I want us to talk truly about the two polarities, you know, of, you know, like masculine and feminine, and how it is important, you know, to balance out those polarities. And this is always about this, about finding this right balance. And for me, it was to truly, you know, like accept myself, because by accepting myself, I was able to accept you too, to accept having a relationship with a woman. And it is true that at the beginning, you know, we were both feeding on our traumas, both of our traumas. I was feeding this wish of yours, or this dream that you had, you know, when you were little, to be a boy, you know, like to be a boy and to be treated like a man. And I was feeding this dream, but at the same time, it was your worst nightmare, you know? So you manifested this into your life, and I manifested this by me refusing to accept that I loved you and you were a female, because I was still afraid about how my parents will take it and how, you know, like people will take it. So for me, like, I just, you know, like built this imaginary world with you where you could be, you know, like a man in the astral, and I could just, you know, like cherish you as a man in the astral, even if in this reality you were a female. But let me just get this straight. It is also because we were still learning about, you know, like the true meaning of the polarities and the roles of, you know, like those two energies, you know, like we were still learning, because I think we can just learn fully about those two energies when we experience those two energies in the case of, you know, like a relationship, truly like a couple relationship. I don't know what you think about this, baby.
Well, definitely. Just for the audience that doesn't know anything about my story or whatnot, since I was a child, like a little kid, I never felt like I was meant to be in a woman's body. Since I was a little kid, especially at the age of 7, I felt that I was born in the wrong body. And I never, like, could accept that I was in a female body. So inwardly, I always lived as a man. And externally, of course, I had to present myself as a little girl because I was a child. And so when I was 7, you know, I would always pray and wish that I had a beard, that I would grow a beard, and that I had a penis. I felt like that's the way that I needed to be for me to feel like myself. And back then I didn't know the word, but back, as you know, I had basically transgender tendencies when I was a little kid, a child. And when I became a teenager at age 15, I then kind of began to identify as bisexual, but honestly, like, I didn't feel bisexual. I didn't feel gay. Like, I just felt like me. Like, to me, it was normal to love women. I couldn't understand how that was not normal. What didn't make sense was the fact that I was in a female body, and society said that because I was in a female body, I needed to dress a certain way, I needed to be a certain way, I needed to like men. That's the part that really confused me. So then I didn't want to label myself anything. I just knew, like, I like women, and this is it. And then through my suicide attempt, when I obviously didn't fulfill the suicide and I had to come back home and my mom picked me up from jail, she had read my journals where it said that obviously, like, I was questioning my sexuality. And then she asked me, like, why didn't you just tell me that? Like, but obviously it's because I myself didn't accept me and I didn't want to be like seen as weird or strange. So I denied myself. And from there, what happened was that I tried to accept myself, like my female body, but because of the distortion of society, and at that time, like, it was kind of just starting out, like, people were beginning to want to be cool, because this is a time where Britney Spears and Madonna kissed, so, like, now everyone thought it was cool to be bisexual. So then it kind of helped me a little bit, because more people were talking about it. But, yeah, that's just kind of how it started for me, of having this distortion with my body. And as a kid, I always had a fantasy to be able to express myself as a male, you know? So when Gali and I met, she was the first woman who sensed me in a different way. And basically, I manifested my childhood fantasy. But at the same time, it was my worst nightmare, because it really, really was painful. But because I was, like, evolving, and I was like, not just, like, face your fears, the way that you and I would, like, talk sexually, it really hurt me, especially when we would say certain things, and I had to, like, you know, I would accept you calling me your king or your man. It really hurt me, but I knew I had to, like, heal, so I thought that I had to conform to that, so then I forgot myself again. It was just, like, again, I was repeating this cycle subconsciously that I had from when I was a child, when to me it was normal to like women, and it was okay. I didn't see anything of it. It wasn't until I was 7 years old and my mom asked me what boy I liked, and I was going to tell her what girl I liked, but then I realized, like, hold on. I'm supposed to like a boy. She asked me what boy I like, and I can't tell her what girl I like. So I just went silent after that. And that's when I began to realize that something wasn't okay with me, because, like, I'm supposed to like boys, because that's automatically what I'm supposed to like. So basically what happened when I met you, my worst fears manifested. But at the same time, what I always wanted to experience also manifested. And then it became my worst nightmare, because then I began to give that life, but I also felt like I was betraying myself. Like, I felt like I was betraying Jess, like the body that I was in. And it really hurt me, because I was so fine being detached from my physical reality. That was okay with me. But then a part of me really hurt me, because it made me feel distorted. Like, I felt like I was, like, really delusional. Like, it just didn't make sense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt kind of sick in the head, actually, as we experienced it. And I know this is why it did bring a lot of confusion and distortion in our own relationship as well, you know? What do you have to say about that, baby?
Well, by just listening to you, there's something that comes up, is that it also started and was possible because one part of yourself didn't accept your feminine self, your feminine self. And it was even hard for me, and even at the beginning, because energy wise I could feel your core masculine, so it was really something potent. Like, I could feel it deeply, you know, within my being. So it was hard for me to address you with, you know, feminine norms. It was hard for me to address you this way. And I didn't do it because I thought that you could think that I don't see you, or I don't respect you, and I didn't want to hurt you. And in a way, you also told me that you didn't resonate with, you know, like, for instance, queen or anything feminine. You didn't resonate with it, you know. You would rather, you know, like, me to call you with something, you know, genderless. And it was so new to me, all of this. So it was really new. And I was learning, and again, you know, like, my toxic feminine kicking in. I don't want, you know, like, to hurt you, but at the same time, I'm not speaking my truth because I'm afraid, you know, like, to hurt you, to hurt your feeling. And it became really an obsession for me to just making sure that you are okay, you know, like you are okay and you're not going to take anything that I say, you know, like personal. So it was really hard for me to find, you know, this middle path to really talk to you, to, you know, like the soul that you wear, that you are. It was really hard for me to just, you know, like find my words. So this came first from, you know, your inability, you know, like to accept the fact that you are a woman and you are in this, you know, like woman body in this physical world in this lifetime. And for myself, it was, you know, it was hard for me to accept that I love females. So it was that part of myself that I still felt shame about. Not because I felt shameful because, you know, I felt ashamed because I love women. Not for this, but it's because I thought that people would judge me because of what I experienced, you know, when I was a teenager. Obviously, you know, like I grew up in ghetto areas and in a Muslim family, so it was super hard for me to be out there, you know, like as a gay person. So I had to hide myself. And so it was really embedded in me. And I only came out in August, you know, like 2019. I only came out in August 2019 when you came to Paris with me and you said, at my mom's place with me for 1 month, and I came up to my mom and I came up to my stepmom and my father, and my mom didn't take it really well and she didn't accept you, so it really hurt me too. So it was a long process to finally, you know, like be out there and just, you know, like be free to be myself, you know. So this shame was really, you know, was not coming from me, but like, I mean, it was coming from me, but it was coming from, you know, like this fear of, you know, like being judged by my family and by the people around me. So see, like, you see, like the two, you know, like the two things, like you not being, you know, like not being enough comfortable to accept, you know, like your feminine self, and me not accepting my sexuality, and then we meet and then we meet and it does that, then we meet and this is what happened. And the truth is that I never wanted to see you as a man and I never wanted to treat you as a man. And then I thought, like, back then that it was the good thing to do because it was just like this. And then again, I wanted to understand on a deeper level, you know, like, those energies and what was happening to us, you know, like, on a soul level. And when we connected in the astral, I got to know your soul on a deeper level and why you were here and you embodied in a female body and why I was in love with you in this embodiment and why I was in love with a woman in this reality, you know. And then it just made sense, you know. And then what followed this really, you know, like toxic sexuality between sexual behaviors. And to be honest, and I wanted to say something also, because before you said that I was in my traumas when I met you, I wasn't in my traumas when I met you. Actually, it's just, or I didn't know that I was in my traumas. You know, like the difference, like I didn't know that I was in my traumas, because for me, like my whole life, I just thought, you know, like this is it, like this is the thing, like, you know, like this is the thing to be hypersexual. Everyone is hypersexual. So, you know, like, I don't see anything, you know, like, wrong by, you know, like, having multiple, you know, like, sexual partners. So I didn't even know that back then that I was in my traumas. Like, it didn't even like come up to my mind that I could even be traumatized, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So then when you came into my life, and because we had this pure relationship and I had such pure feelings for you, something that I never felt with anyone, and I could learn from you, and I was really, you know, like passionate by everything that you are saying to me, because I learned a lot by just you know, like being by your side. I learned a lot, and this relationship was so pure and so intense for me. And at the same time, I was still, you know, like thinking that I need this, you know, I need to feed, you know, the sexual agenda. So then when I was feeding this sexual agenda and we fed this sexual agenda together and having, you know, like this toxic sexual life. And I remember, and I want to share something really personal. I didn't know that I would be sharing this today with you guys, but I feel like sharing. So I remember one day it was super toxic. I had, you know, we had this sexual intercourse, and I felt it was super toxic because, you know, like we used names and, you know, and toxic names, and, you know, like it was super toxic for me what happened. But while I was doing it and when we were doing it, I didn't feel it was toxic. But afterwards, the way I felt, I went to the bathroom and I took a shower, and, you know, I just felt like I needed cleansing. I needed cleansing. I just felt I was living rape again. I just felt like this. I felt like, you know, like I was raped. And obviously, like, it was with you, but, like, it's just this, you know, like, I mean, like, this sexual intercourse, like, just brought, like, deep, you know, like, traumas into, you know, like, existence. And some traumas that I didn't even know about. And then I had to open up to you about what happened when I was young. And then you told me, like, no, it was rape. And I convinced myself that my whole life, that is not what happened. But then just having you, and for the first time opening up to someone about this, and having, you know, my partner saying to me, yeah, you've been raped. And it was, I don't know, my whole world, like, just, you know, like, collapsed, because by you saying this, you know, that means that I was being acknowledged and that it truly happened and it was not in my head, you know? So, so yes, to just come back to what you were saying. So yes, I didn't think that I was in my traumas and I wasn't experiencing my traumas. It's just when we started to have, you know, like this crazy, you know, like sexual life, that I started, you know, like to really think twice about what happened in my life. And because, you know, like we had this, it was so paradoxical. We had this paradox between us. It was pure. It was so pure. On a soul level, it was so pure. But at the same time, on a physical level, we were experiencing this toxic sex, you know? So then, like, I thought, like, how is it possible that we have this pure relationship and we're still experiencing toxic sex? No, there should be another way to experience sex, right? Like, remember when we came to false conclusions? Like, even, like, at some point in our life, when we're traveling, we just thought, you know, like, maybe it's better, like, to stop having sex for a while. Remember this? Like, we said, I think, like, it's better to, you know, like, to not have sex, to just, you know, like, reflect on our, you know, like, sexual experiences and how we like it. And if we don't, then, like, what can we do to have a healthy, you know, like, sexual relationship, you know? I was just, like, finishing on this, but it was definitely what was happening. Like, this paradox was really, really, really present. So in my head as well, I was confused. But this relationship, because it was so deep, it brought up all those, you know, like, memories of the past, all of my traumas. And then I started to really experience my traumas, to be able to release those traumas and then experience the pure love with you. So this is why, this is what I meant by saying all that, my love.
Yeah, so actually I wanted to take it back to the facts of when you realized that. Actually, before we had that conversation, it was before we met in the physical. It was when we were still connecting on the phone through WhatsApp. And mm-hmm. I told you that I didn't feel comfortable anymore with the phone sex. And you know what I mean? I wanted to like experience us to just connect and like breathe into each other. I remember because it was getting really toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So before we met in the physical, it was already getting to that point. I didn't feel right. And I don't remember how the conversation came up, but like, I remember I told you like, if we could just like, you know, just like look at each other through the camera, because you know it was long distance, if we could just breathe into each other and experience that without talking, without like saying any nasty stuff, like if we could just like breathe into each other and have these moments. And we did it for like 3 days, and then I remember afterwards you told me that you wanted to experience with me still like the other way. And you know, I said, okay. And then you told me that you wanted to be able to experience everything with me. And then from there, we could decide what we feel right and what we feel isn't okay. And to be honest, at that point, I didn't want to keep experiencing because I felt like I didn't want to anymore. But because it's two of us, then I knew like within you, you still needed to like experience it. So then I said yes, but I wasn't too happy about it, but I knew that it would be part of the healing. So then after that, we went back into like what we were doing before, you know, on the phone. And then that's why when we met in person, we had told each other, and I said it was okay, like, you know, I'm with it, that we would not judge, we would just be free and allow whatever needed to come out and experience to come out, and for us to experience it. And then from there, we would learn. And then that's when we met in person. We allowed, you know, it started off actually really, really like sacred, like the first meeting we had, like sexual. And then from there,
the again, first 2 days too, it was really, again, like, I just feel like meeting in person. And this is why, you know, like, just excuse my earthly energy. This is why I remember more when we were in the physical, because you know, it was more present for me in my mind when we were in the physical. I could really like sense it and feel it and how I felt, you know, more than when we were, you know, like chatting via phones. And the first few days, right? The first few days were lovely, and we were so deep into this connection and tune into, you know, like other dimensions. And we were, you know, like we were really on a soul level. And our conversations, we had conversations, you know, like the whole night. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It really, it was really like a dream, you know, like this dream finally that I was living with, you know, like someone. And I never thought that I would live something that deep with someone. This was really happening. But then after those few days, we just got caught up in this material reality, right? Like in this 3D reality. And then we initiated this, you know, like sexual game. And then we went back to, you know, like the toxic ways, because this was the only thing that we knew. We knew we actually learned what is a healthy relationship together, because we were willing to experience it, and we were willing as well. And I come back to what you said about what I told you, that, you know, we need, in order to know, you know, what we like and what is, you know, like the best for us, we need to experience it all. And that was, you know, like my mentality back then. And I still think the same way, that, you know, I'm the kind of person, we are, you know, like both the same, that we are extremists. Like we need to experience everything. Like we need to experience, you know, like the deep darkness and we need to experience the deep light. We need to experience everything. And I think we needed to experience that in order to find a balance and find for us what is sacred, you know, and redefining together this sacred. And I think this is what I think it is beautiful with us. It's because we found our sacred state and we nurtured the sacred state. And we were able to forgive, you know, like the toxic ways, because we knew that, and we know that those toxic ways were there to teach us a lesson. And this lesson, we really learned from it. And now we are able to teach others about sacred, you know, like sexuality. And how it is important to first have this sacred, you know, like sexuality within your being, and really having, you know, like having a deep connection with your being, a deep connection with your body, and this acceptance with your body, so you are able to then externally have a good relationship, you know.
Yes. You know, as you're saying this, actually, since we began to talk about this, I've began to feel like, this rage, this anger towards a certain energy. And I know it's a clearing for the collective, and it goes actually to the toxic masculine energy that distorted the feminine and made it into a toxic feminine energy. So this whole time we've been talking... Yeah. All of our trauma, like literally like the entire distortion, like even just hearing me talk about my childhood and how the reason why I got so confused was because before, like, my own reality seemed to be like distorted, I was fine. But it was because of the stories that began to play in me, like everyone else's story coming into me, and what I was thinking was normal because of society. That's when everything began for me. But before that, I was fine. I was an innocent child. I didn't even think of anything like that. Like, I just loved, you know. And the more that I got older and the more that I began to analyze society at a very young age, I was a very deep diver. I would analyze and observe, and that's when I began to feel like something was wrong with me. And again, like, you know, just going back into our relationship, after I had gone into some deep healing and released myself from like some some type of disorders that I had with my sexuality, being super like hypersexual, and healing through that and not feeling the need anymore, because I just felt complete and pure. I didn't feel like I needed to stimulate anything sexual. Then getting into a relationship with you and then thinking I had to, again, it was just like not my story again, you know? And it was because why? Because you were playing still this game that you were told by the toxic masculine. So then your toxic feminine energy, again, it just like came and it like refueled my toxic masculine again. You know what I mean? And we were just feeding on this game.
Toxic masculinity too, because...
And it comes... Yeah.
Yeah, tell me, baby.
Yes, and it comes from... Thanks, babe, for listening. And it comes from the toxic masculine, like the society that we're born in, like these programs that were given to us, and even of what sexuality is supposed to be, like all of that came from the distorted toxic masculine energy. So, you know, as we're sharing the story of our distortions, that's actually the root of it. So as I'm, you know, as I'm hearing all this, actually I began to feel this anger inside of me towards this anger of how corrupted sexuality has been. And because of that corruption, it has caused every single distortion that a human being experiences. Mm-hmm. Everything. Yeah. Because the woman has been raped. The woman has been just pushed away from society, made seem less. I myself, this is why I rejected my female body, because I didn't want to be seen as weak. I didn't want to be called a pussy, because to me, a pussy was a bad word. Like, oh, you have a pussy, you're weak. So anything that was feminine, this is why for me, I even rejected my feminine, because I didn't want to associate with what was weak. So you see this program, like where it's all coming from? It's coming from this messed up society that we're born in, that is over masculine and has made us think that the divine feminine is weak. And that, you know, we have to be over sexual, that we have to be aggressive, that we have to be go-getters, that we have to do this, this, and that, and that love is external, that we have to be a certain way for us to find love and for us to receive love. It has to be, you know, felt externally. That's why you felt that, you know, the only way that you could experience love was through sex. But again, that program was embedded within you because of the toxic masculine agenda.
Yeah, and experiencing this from an early age, and you said it before that when you were young and when we are a child, we are pure by essence. By essence, we are pure until an adult tells us the contrary or shows us the contrary. And this is what happens in all cases, you know, like for myself, I discovered sexuality through porn. And, you know, like, this is the kind of things, like, I discovered pornography through a VHS of my mom. So it's just like, you know what I mean? So it's just like, what do the adults, you know, like, teach their children? Like, what do they do so that children, you know, like, become hypersexual, and for them it's super normal to be hypersexual than when they're teenagers, when they should be just, you know, like, discovering, you know, what sexuality is. So there's this, you know, like, it's so easy, and it was so easy back then at my age to have access, you know, like, to porn. It was super easy, and even it was not yet, you know, like, this time of internet, but still, it was so easy for me to have access, you know, like, to sexuality at 9 years old, 8 years old, you know? So this is what needs to be also a question. And why do we get to those places where, you know, it is so easy for us to get confused with, you know, like, external resources when we are just, you know, like, innocent children? Mm-hmm. So this is, you know, like, this is the first thing. And also what I was thinking when you were telling me awful stuff, and yeah, for sure, because even back then I was in my toxic masculinity and I was totally disconnected from sexuality, because when you think about it, like, we were hypersexual, but we were totally disconnected from this act of sexuality, right? We were totally disconnected from it because we were doing it without even thinking it. It was something just like we were just robots. It was just automatic. We just wanted more and more and just feed ourselves with more and more sex. And we didn't even know why we were looking for this sex, but we had to get this sex to just, you know, like, seem like, you know, like, we are the real deal, you know? So it's just, you know, like, to describe the whole thing, it's truly that we have this connection from sexuality, and sexuality is the essence of life, because sexuality is Shakti, prana, this energy coming from the cosmic matter, this energy, this pure essence. This is the essence of our being. We need this energy to go through life. This is what makes us, and this is how we are also made by, you know, like, our parents. We are born out of this act of, you know, like, sexuality. So the thing is just like, it governs, you know, like, the whole material world, but it is because it is misunderstood, and this is what they want us to think. They want us to disconnect completely from sexuality, so we are completely disconnected from our root. So we stay in our root, we stay in survival mode. We just stay in this. And if we have traumas, we stay in our traumas and we don't evolve. We stay stuck. This is what they want us. They want us to stay stuck and not evolve and just think that we are just meant to just, you know, like have sex and have children. That's it. Like just basically making us believe that we are just like animals. Animals are beautiful creatures, but we are different from animals. We have different purposes. We have different purposes, and it is important to see that we have this consciousness. We have this higher consciousness, and if we have this higher consciousness, it's because we are meant to realize great things. We have a bigger purpose. We have a greatest purpose. So this is important to notice that, that what they want us to think is that we are just, you know, we are just good to do that. You know what I mean? Like, we are just good to do that. Just, you know, like, have sex all day. Just, you know, like, animals, like, have sex just following our, you know, primal instinct. That's it. This is the only thing that we should be doing. Eating, having sex, you know what I mean? Eating, reproducing, that's it. That's it. That's it. The only thing that we should be doing. So I think like we are tapping really into something really important. This disconnection serves the system. This disconnection that we can feel towards sex, because people think that they are connected to sexuality because they have a lot of sex. No, because if you have a lot of sex, it's just like when, you know, like just think about it. Like you have this work, you've been doing this work for, you know, like 15 years. You've been doing the same work for 15 years. And at some point, like you get bored. You get bored because you're doing the same thing every single day. You're doing the same thing. You're going to the same place. You're doing the same thing all over again. You're going to get bored. You're going to get bored. Like it just becomes, you know, like mechanical, just like I said. And it's the same thing when it comes to sex. Like you just lose, you know, like the essence of it because you are just so used to do it. So when you just think like that's it, there is no intimate experience to live. There is not something deeper to experience with sexuality, when sexuality again is sacred. And the real tantric experience is to experience the one. This is why we get into, you know, like the sacred space, and we exchange sexual energy in the first place is to experience the one, is to experience oneness, is to experience divinity. This is the whole purpose of this sacred, you know, sexuality. And we have lost the meaning of it.
Yes. Exactly. And actually, you know, the only reason that we are made to be able to have sex is to connect to God, you know? But it's not the sex that we are told. This is a thing. People think that sex is a man and a woman having intercourse. That's not it. You actually, to have a sacred union and tantra, you don't actually, true tantra has no physical connection. And this is a part that really, I feel a trigger when I see this in the spiritual conscious community of people talking about sacred sexuality, and they always want to put the image of a physical man and a physical woman having intercourse. I get it. I get this is where the collective consciousness is right now and where they can connect, but there's something deeper here. And me being someone that is not heterosexual and is very beyond this realm, and I know why I'm here and why I'm born in this body, why I'm in a same-sex relationship, and what my duty here is to evolve consciousness, it hurts me. It hurts me because I see the trap. And I again fell in that trap when we got together, and I thought that this is what we were again aiming for, but deep down I knew it wasn't. I knew this was beyond that because I know who I am beyond that. And the way that makes me feel, the way that Tantra is represented, again, it's just like, guys, remember, you're not here to, you know, sex isn't about being loved, and finding love isn't about finding your partner. The whole point of us coming back to self is to remember our truth and to build such a nourishing, deep relationship with one, with God, within the divinity within you, that it takes you beyond this material world where you no longer need actual physical connection, but you are beyond this world, beyond that. And it's something orgasmic, but not the orgasms that humans think. It's pure bliss. Bliss that is pure. So when people are trying to reach an orgasm, what they're really trying to reach is God. They want to reach bliss. But because it's been so corrupted, people go for that quick fix. This is what society teaches you, to just shoot out and release your life force and be depleted. And to forget the true purpose of life, to just be that short, quick fix, and this is it, and to go and have multiple partners, or, you know, to just procreate.
Just give away your life force to anyone.
Exactly, exactly. Just, and
follow your portal, your sacred portal, to be penetrated by, you know, like many people, and then having this sexual exchange and having traumas of other people, and then with your own traumas, some traumas that you have to heal from, you have to heal from also people's traumas, because now, you know, like you also carry their traumas, because you follow them into your sacred space.
Yes.
So exactly. Yeah, definitely. I feel you. And again, what you said about the orgasm, is true. What is this destination that you are trying to reach, you know, like what is this destination? And people always think like this, and you see, I mean, you know, like I see people on the streets running, is the same thing, you know, like you see in big cities, people are running, you know, like they don't even know where they are going, but they are going to some place because they need to. They don't realize that, you know, like this deep need to get to this destination is truly because they are still trying, you know, like to feed this void within themselves. They still feel empty. And this is the same thing that you experience. And I'm thinking because, you know, like both of us were addicted to porn, and I know that so many people out there are still addicted to porn, and this is the same thing that you experience with porn. Like you just watch your porn, and then, you know, like you do what you have to do, and at the end, how do you feel? You feel empty and disgusted, and this is basically like what people experience on a daily basis, just feeling disgusted and empty. And this is how you even feel sometimes, and this is what I used to feel when I would have sex with someone and just waking up, you know, like next to someone, and you just like, you would rather like not be here, you would rather, you know, like disappear, and you just question yourself like, why did I do that, you know, you don't even want to be here, and you feel again empty, and then this emptiness just becomes, you know, like larger. You know, it just becomes bigger. This emptiness become bigger because you're still like trying to feed this void. And it just, you know, this story, like, it's so funny because it just reminds me of, you know, like so many people that I met in my life and were telling me that, you know, like, I don't feel complete within myself. Who is going to complete me? you know, who is going to do that for me? Nobody is going to do that for you, because you have to realize, I'm gonna say it. You have to realize this within your being first. You have to realize that you are already complete. So you don't need to look for someone to make you feel that you are complete, because you are already complete, you know?
Exactly. And the thing is this, the point of this whole podcast is to remind you guys that in the end, the ultimate goal is to love thyself. Because when you become complete within yourself, this is when you realize the divinity within you, and you can just be yourself and feel whole and complete. Like, there's nothing missing, because there's nothing missing, because you're oneness, you're everything. And this is what life is about. But when we are hungry like vampires, feeling like we need to have sex, we need to have so many partners, we need to have money, we need to have a title, we need to have a big house and a big car, we need to have the best body, all of this is a lack mentality, which is coming from
this race, obviously,
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's coming from, first of all, you know, our chakra, our root chakra imbalanced, and that's why we don't have a sense of security. And the fact that obviously we have this distortion with our sexuality, that's our sacral chakra, that's our womb, right? The maternal, because we are at war within our maternal nature, within our own femininity, because every living being on this earth is Shakti. Everything is Shakti. Mm-hmm. Everything you see on earth is Shakti. It's all feminine energy. So when we are against our own feminine energy, how can we flourish? That means our entire energetic field is thrown off, because we are denying our femininity, and we are denying the mother, we are denying nature, we are denying everything that we are. So when we are in denial, how can we be at peace? No, we are in disharmony, dis-ease. So in order for us as a humanity to come together and to bring harmony again on earth, we need to accept the mother. We need to accept the feminine within us. We need to allow the divine feminine to rise within each and every man and woman on this earth, because this is how we will create this shift. And when we are able and we allow ourselves to experience our feminine, we are able to feel complete, because a mother, a female, a woman is a completion of man, the feminine. It is complete energy, because within the feminine, she holds the masculine. A man cannot give birth to his mother. So how can a man teach a woman when a woman births her son? And it is a woman who teaches a son. But because we are born in a society that has silenced a woman, that has poisoned the heart of men, to hate their mothers, how can a man then know? And how can a woman allow herself to truly express herself, is if she is learning what a woman is supposed to be by humanity that has been corrupted by the mind of a man who wants to suppress.
She's learning by herself. And her going on her personal journey and loving herself is actually resolving this conflict within.
And that's how. Exactly. But this is why, as a society, the man and the woman both struggles with this, because we have been born in a society that has been running through the mind of a toxic masculine that has created all of these rules and regulations and how a woman is supposed to be and how a man is supposed to be, and has corrupted energy, period, you know? So it's beautiful that we're now shifting paradigms. We're, you know, stepping into whole new energy. And I'm really grateful that I've met you, and that now are able to share, and we have so much more to share. We wanted to just do kind of this podcast and share, obviously, like, our experience with healing from, you know, sexual trauma and obviously like our divine union and what that's brought out, you know? So the audience can reflect from us sharing our own intimate stories. Obviously there's so much more, but if we keep going, this will be the never ending podcast. It'll be the never ending episode, right?
We can talk for hours, guys.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, okay, I know it's gone past of the hour. So we can keep going, but you know, we'll save that for many other episodes. We have a lot of personal things that we definitely will share that we know that will help you all and inspire you more and bring more realizations for you as, you know, we share our own journey.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, my love. It was super enlightening, like always, and super powerful.
Well, baby, before we end this podcast, is there something that you would like to leave the audience with? Maybe a quote or maybe a beautiful thought of yours, you know?
Yes. What comes into my mind is what you were saying about, you know, how we need, you know, like to feel that we are, you know, like this cup overflowing. We need to feel like clearly that we are this cup overflowing, so we are able, you know, like to attract then, you know, like the person that is meant, you know, like to be our lover in this lifetime. But we need to first, you know, like be this cup overflowing. And when we are this cup, you know, when we are this cup and we are so abundant, when you have so much love within, then it's so much easier, you know, like to be understood in a relationship and to build a healthy relationship, because we are not expecting anything from the other person, you know. We're not expecting anything. We have no expectation, and we're just living, and we are just in the being, and you know, like just this act of being is just beautiful. And every single day I remind myself that I just have to be, you know, I just have to be. And just like you, my beloved soul, you just have to be, you just have to be, and don't try to act a certain way. Ooh. Or just feel like you have to say certain words to feel accepted, or even, you know, like think that you need to do some things to feel accepted. Because how do you feel then? You know, it causes more destruction than anything. So I want you to always be faithful to yourself. This is the most important thing.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much for that message. Yes, always be true to yourself. Listen to your heart, and your heart will always guide you home.
And we are so abundant.
Yes, yes, we really are. Thank you so much, baby, for being my first guest on the podcast. Yeah. And of course, for having the courage to talk about these things that are very, you know, sensitive topics, but you know, it heals us every time we talk about it.
I want to take this moment to acknowledge my beautiful wife, my beautiful goddess, Galia Devi, for all of the powerful healing, all of the dedication to your growth, baby. You have done such an amazing, amazing job, and I'm so honored to be able to watch you grow and evolve. And you truly have been and are, because you still are, a great teacher for me, because you are such a pure mirror where I'm able to reflect back at my own self. And because you always choose your highest self, as we are perfect reflections for one another to grow and learn from, because we both choose to embody our higher self, then we can both grow together, because we can realize ourself when we are not acting as our highest. And this is how we're able to heal. So thank you so much for being so unconditional and for creating this beautiful safe space for us to heal together. I really, really feel blessed, and I am blessed to have you as my wife and my eternal lover. You're the best gift ever. And truly, you are so, so wise, so intelligent, so beautiful in every way. And that your energy, truly, it's very, very, very soothing, very calm, and at the same time, very fiery and empowering. I love you and I honor you, and I'm grateful that you're here with us, and all of the beautiful light that you have to share with our humanity. Thank you, my love. Beloved Reflections, if you guys are looking to connect with Galia, you can find her on her Instagram at Galia Devi. She is going to let you guys know when she will launch her podcast. So follow her on Instagram so you can stay updated. And I'm going to be having her on many more episodes, so stay on the lookout for part two, because it is coming. We're about to be diving deep into some juicy stuff, powerful topics. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. If you've been enjoying the podcast, please share it. Tag me on Instagram. I would love to hear your feedback. It allows me to know where my audience is and what you guys want to hear and what you guys are enjoying. That way I could deliver more value and more quality for you guys. And of course, share it to those who you feel will benefit from this healing. Let's heal together. Let's grow together. Let's evolve together. This is why we're here. I'm sending you my unconditional love, light, bliss, and blessings. Hari Om Tat Sat.